Welcome back to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Childhood cancer remains a leading cause of disease-related death for children in the United States and worldwide. And research efforts into the causes and cures for children's cancer can be quite challenging. Well, we're fortunate to have with us this morning one such researcher with her own perspective on these challenges. Dr. Rosemary Rochford is a professor in the Department of Microbiology and Immunology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Rochford. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me here.
So you're studying one particular type of cancer. Tell us about it.
Yes, my research is on Burkitt's lymphoma. It's the most common childhood cancer in sub-Saharan Africa.
What, tell us about the disease. What is it exactly?
It's a lymphoma, which is a cancer of the white blood cells, and it forms solid masses. And in the children, what they show up as is tumors in the jaw. So you'll see the children coming in with large swelling on their face, sometimes in the eye, sometimes swelling of the abdomen. It can be anywhere in the body, but typically kids around 6 years of age show up and they have a mass that is fairly large and dramatic, and it's a rapidly growing cancer.
So it's a cancer of the lymphatic system?
Mm-hmm, of the white blood cells.
Mm-hmm. So where you said it was in sub-Saharan Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. What does that mean?
Well, it was originally discovered by a physician named Dennis Burkitt, and it's an interesting story. He went to, trained in England and went to Uganda in the late 50s and had never seen any type of cancer like this before. And he tried to map out where that cancer occurred, and it was only in areas in sub-Saharan Africa where malaria occurs. So they thought that maybe it was caused by malaria directly, or maybe some other virus that was transmitted by a mosquito. But there's a clear correlation with areas where the malaria happens year-round and quite frequently, so kids are sick quite a bit with malaria and the emergence of this cancer.
But in fact, there was no causative relationship, as they found out?
Well, no, not with other, not with a virus caused by carried by a mosquito, but there actually isn't a direct link with malaria. And in fact, I was at the International Agency for Cancer Research in Lyon last year, sponsored by the WHO, and says that malaria is a probable cause of cancer, which is a really pretty profound to think about that. But it's not just malaria. It has to be malaria and the virus that I started studying, Epstein-Barr virus.
So this kind of cancer that
mm-hmm.
you found, this lymphatic cancer,
mm-hmm.
is related to a virus that mm-hmm. you've identified, well, that has been identified, Epstein-Barr.
Right.
And that's true in sub-Saharan Africa.
Correct.
But I also understood that we have a form in North America of Burkitt's lymphoma that isn't related to Epstein-Barr.
That's right. So in the U.S., you have what's called sporadic Burkitt's lymphoma, where it occurs maybe one in a million people, or one in 10 million. In Africa, it's one in 10,000 children.
Wow.
So very different. And but both of them have sort of, I think about it as convergent disease. So they both have other features that make them very similar.
Well, let's talk about that. What are some of the symptoms? You mentioned a growth
mm-hmm.
in the jaw or
right.
the oral cavity.
Right.
And is it a result of swelling of the lymph nodes?
Actually, no. That's actually the tumor mass grows so rapidly. It distorts the jaw. Sometimes you can see the eyes. It's horrific to see, actually.
And very noticeable.
Oh, yeah.
And what are some of the symptoms that somebody would complain of in addition?
Well, they would typically, when we've talked to the mothers who bring their children in, they think that maybe they have an infection of the gum, right? So they bring the kid to the dentist or somebody to look at the teeth. And it goes so quickly from that to becoming so severe. The pain from the tumor growth is really what's the striking thing. Or sometimes the children will come in with their belly swollen. And with any cancer, a lot of times you'll have fever and sort of loss of appetite, other kinds of
so
features.
They might lose weight and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned children get
mm-hmm.
it.
Right.
Do adults get it as well?
The form that we see in Africa is only in children. Then, as I said, there's the form that occurs in North America that you can have children or adults, but it's very rare and not associated with Epstein-Barr virus.
So what are they doing to treat it currently, and is it treatable?
It's very treatable. In fact, it's the most treatable cancer. In this country, it's about an 85% cure rate for Burkitt's lymphoma. And now with the availability of Rituxan or rituximab, it's actually much more successfully treated. In Africa, unfortunately, we don't have availability of chemotherapy on a regular basis. The cost of the drugs are prohibitive for a family. They come from rural areas with little health insurance, and It costs $150 to treat a child for Burkitt's lymphoma, and often we don't have enough money to do that.
So then what happens? Do they die?
They die.
So
yeah.
It literally is lethal.
It's lethal.
If left unattended.
Because it's so rapidly dividing, the children will die within 6 months of first diagnosis. So
it's really curable, and yet there aren't funds to cure it.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
How did you get interested in studying this disease?
I was actually, as a graduate student, I went to a seminar by a professor who talked about Burkitt's lymphoma, and I was just curious about how this cancer... I was studying viruses that cause cancer in mice, and I wanted to study viruses that were linked to cancer in humans. And I was fascinated by the idea that you could have this cancer that only occurred in one area geographically with Burkitt's lymphoma, and what would be how would those things, factors interact and link to cause that cancer. So it was sort of a lifelong interest, and finally in 2001 I was able to go to Kenya and start my research there and begin to study the cancer.
And your research is ongoing. So you've been studying it for 11 years or more, 12
exactly,
years?
12 years.
Wow.
So quite a long time working there.
So what's the focus of your research? What are your goals? What are your aspirations for it?
We're trying to study, as I said, there's the link between Epstein-Barr virus and also the link between malaria. And we know that those two things link to cause Burkitt's lymphoma. We can say they cause it, but I want to know how they do that. So
sure.
What's going on between the two? So what we're doing right now is we have and we know it's also in young children that get this cancer. So it's a very short time between exposure to these two pathogens and when they actually develop this cancer, which is around the age of 6. So we're going backwards in time to say, what's the environment like so that leads to the emergence of this cancer? Now, we couldn't study 10,000 children, so we study 100 children, and we try to understand how malaria and EBV interact. So we're following from the mothers actually before they deliver at an antenatal clinic, seeing what their prenatal environment is like, looking at the infants at delivery, and then following them out through, we followed the first cohort out through 7 years of age.
So you're doing more of an environmental analysis, and so it's like kind of like, it's not basic science in the sense that you're looking at the makeup of the genetic makeup of the virus or any of that. You're really looking at these kind of environmental factors that may be contributory.
Correct. So, looking in the children themselves. So it's a step away from looking at the virus inside the cell. Now we want to look at the virus and the parasite inside the body, right? And how, if you have malaria, does that affect how you control the virus?
So, why cancer in Africa? I mean, obviously you told me you were interested in that, but what is that going to tell us, or what hope do you have for the results that you may come upon?
One of the striking things about this is that when we think about causes of cancer, Dennis Burkitt was the first to identify, and out of the work that we did on Burkitt's lymphoma that was infectious linked to cancer, it's now known that one out of every 5 cancers has an infectious link.
Wow, that's very significant.
It's very high. And in developing countries, it's probably even higher than that. So we have liver cancer linked to hepatitis B, cervical cancer, and human papillomavirus. So really understanding these are cancers that we can prevent with vaccines. Ultimately, it would be ideal to have a vaccine against EBV or malaria. And I think if we get those vaccines, we could actually eliminate another cancer off the list.
That's fascinating. So you're really seeing this as a key to unlock, I think you called it before we started actually talking on air,
a Rosetta Stone.
It's the Rosetta Stone. It gives you a potential roadmap and an understanding of how cancer and infection work hand in hand.
Right.
Or how one is the result of another.
Yeah, how infections lead to cancer. And if we understand how that infection drives the cancer, then we can prevent the cancer. Because, as I said, you can't treat the cancer successfully there because of limited money, but prevention is always cheaper than treatment.
And certainly they're doing a tremendous amount today, in sub-Saharan Africa, with Gates Foundation, other places are trying to prevent malaria.
Correct.
Do you think that might have some impact?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because we're trying to also look at the incidence of cancer, and there's some evidence that Burkitt's lymphoma might be declining in areas where malaria is declining. And if we could come at it from that point of view, yay, that would be great too. So one of the challenges is to figure out how much Burkitt's lymphoma is there, and can we really directly prove that if malaria goes down because of interventions, will this cancer go down? And that's another avenue of study we're doing.
So where are you right now in your research?
We're trying to...
In terms of what your findings are to date and you're hoping. Yeah.
To date, I think what we're trying... We have a clear sense that maybe this virus is... these kids are infected very early in life with Epstein-Barr virus, so that's why I say we're focusing on the mothers. And if we are working with people, what I'd love to do is be able to boost the mothers with the vaccine so that they can help the infants delay when they get infection with EBV and maybe prevent transmission of that virus, so that would help the body, the infants, be able to control the virus. So that's ultimately where we will want to get to, but right now in the middle of a large study to see if my hypothesis is correct.
Which is that?
Which is that the infants are getting infected with EBV early in life, and that sets the stage for them to be at risk for getting Burkitt's lymphoma.
If they then also are exposed to malaria.
Right.
So it's kind of one sets the stage.
For the other.
For the other.
Right.
Why don't adults get it in that same region?
They probably, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. It strikes me that if it does exist in adults elsewhere in the world, I mean, that's just a thought I had.
Yeah.
That somehow maybe in the maturation process or somehow they've...
Well, they might get it as well, but we don't really study that so much. So they might have a sporadic form. And in fact, one of my colleagues I work with does say that the sporadic form probably exists there. There's also another form that I didn't mention, which is an AIDS-associated, and that clearly is occurring in Kenya and in Sub-Saharan Africa.
Because there's a high incidence of AIDS
right,
as well.
Right.
But that's a whole effect on the immune suppression of the immune system
Correct.
To begin with. Very, very interesting. So what are your greatest challenges at this point?
Trying to get funding,
yeah.
Maintain funding. So in this climate with NIH and sequestration, it's really a challenge. It's going to cut our grant this year another 10%. So
wow.
We've got a great team in place in Kenya that we've been training over the years to do cancer research. There's very few people in this country that do cancer research in Africa. Mm-hmm. It's a big push for NCI right now. They set up
to do that kind of research.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they've set up a Center for Global Health and really trying to take a look and tackle this question.
Yeah, but it, clearly if you're in an economic climate where it's difficult, period,
right.
to get funds for research, even though they may set this as a priority, you're probably up against some challenge there.
We are. Luckily, I've got another 2 years of funding left, so we'll start. I've got a grant going in again in May to keep going. So
tell us again, what implications are there for this research in terms of impacting other efforts with children's or adult cancer? I mean, put into your own words how you see this unlocking of the key to the infectious cancer connection.
I think, you know, we could say from my own research, again, coming back to developing vaccines and preventions for cancer is really the big goal. And if, as I said, one in five cancers are linked to an infectious agent, we really need to keep a look at that. And it might be that there was a new virus just discovered, a Merkel polyomavirus that's linked to Merkel cell carcinoma. So there might be other cancers out there that have an infectious link that we don't know about. So ultimately, we want to take a look at a broader number of cancers to see if there is infectious links.
In the very little bit of time, it's interesting that we have left. I did a recent interview about the development of a vaccine against cancer and somehow harnessing the power of the immune system,
Correct.
Our own immune system, to
Right.
fight cancer. So this link between our immune system and cancer seems to be a huge one.
It is. It
and
is.
And one that people like you are so crucial in terms of helping us unlock that.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you so very much for coming in. I hope when you complete your efforts, hopefully you won't complete them too soon. You won't run out of money. But once you complete your efforts, I hope you'll come back and maybe tell us about them.
I'd love to do that.
That would be great. Thanks so much. My guest has been Dr. Rosemary Rochford. She's a professor in the Department of Microbiology and Immunology and a cancer researcher in Sub-Saharan Africa. And she is with Upstate Medical University. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on Air right after this short break.